Blog Talk Radio.
It is Sunday, September 20th, 2015, 6:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time in America. My name is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show, The Grantham Taylor Hughes Show, with my guest host each week, Gabrielle Foster. Hi, Gabrielle. How are you?
I'm doing great. How about yourself, Grant?
I'm pretty good. That was very robotic of me and a little more professional this week. What do you think?
Well, I don't know if professional means robotic. I have no answer to that.
But I thought it sounded pretty good, and my disc jockey coach would really appreciate it.
I didn't know that we were rating the resonance of your voice.
I'll have
to get right on that.
It's all style and no substance anymore. We have no substance on the show. We're going to be all style. Like most shows in America, which are all style and no substance, you see? Whereas I think we're substance and no style. But now we're going to combine the two, and that means we'll make us God. All right, the God Show each week. Instead of the Grantham Taylor Hughes Show. Hey, I'm really on it this week, aren't I?
Yes, you are.
So the agenda that we have is the 1930 Geneva Convention. So for all you young people who have just gotten bored out of the studio for being, in terms of the oldness of the, when you talk about 1930, they're going, oh, no, not that, please. The problem is that we have a bankruptcy since that time. And because of that bankruptcy, we have debt currency. We have money that essentially, in the classicist view, would be considered no good. But in the practical view, or maybe in the, I wouldn't call it enigmatic, mysterious view, in terms of maybe the specialist view, or I would say but not pragmatic, not practical. You see what I mean? So it's sort of a theoretical view. It is actually a very good thing in terms of specie currency. But in practice, it doesn't work. See, that's what I'm trying to say. It's a great idea that is a complete failure in practice. And people can probably point to a lot of things that would be similar to that. A nice idea, but we can't get it to work. And it doesn't work. And even the monetary system doesn't work in terms of the actual measurement of specific measurement, not to even go into that too intellectually. We cannot measure things in a collective. You measure things individually. So that's why math needs to be approximate, and then we wouldn't have bankruptcies. So see, therein lies the rub, as Shakespeare would say. See, that's the problem. We can't get things in practice because we live in an uncertain world. But what I try to show on this show is we can find some common ground. And finding common ground, we can make things a better practice and maybe sustainability for the future. I know that Prince Charles and a bunch of people in England get together and confer in that realm, and they go sustained development, they call it. And so, but it's a very intellectual approach to society, but I think it has some positive aspects to it. But I'm pretty sure they don't go into, I don't know for sure, I don't want to say, but in terms of getting into the law and the money issues like we talk about on our show. But I do have a group that I meet with each morning in the UK on a conference line, if you want to call that meeting. It's not a physical meeting, that we do talk over some in-depth concepts and what have you that are probably more relevant than in terms of sustained development, which should be more of an orthodox type meeting. Having said that, I think that what we do is more synthetic, in terms of the synthesis of getting to the part of the matter in terms of not necessarily application or implementation of theory, but theoretical premise at a very high level. And that's why I'm always talking about the three levels of theory, law, and practice, because most of what we do theoretical may not be practical, but it's the truth. See, I mean, there's some irony in that whole thing in terms of discussing truth, but can truth be implemented in practice? Isn't that interesting? Do you think that's an interesting question, Gabriella?
Can truth be implemented in practice? Well, I mean, I think it can. Why not?
Well, I don't know. I mean, we're talking about the truth of, like, specie currency. It doesn't work in practice. It's a failure because you have mathematics, which is a complete failure in terms of measuring as a group. See, it doesn't work. It's a night. In other words, it's a theory. It's the truth, but it's a failure when we try to get together and use it for purposeful sociological practice. You follow me with that?
Okay. Yeah, I do.
That's what I'm trying
to say.
Why
is it
a
failure?
Yeah. Well, because when you go to the group, you've got such an individual interpretation of things. Then there's a misapplication from one to the other. But where individually, I can give a theory, I can give an idea that sounds wonderful, but then when people go to discuss it, there is somewhat of a kowtow to the original ideal. See what I mean? So here it is. This is the way that it is. I said it, and if you don't agree to that, then you're disloyal or that sort of nonsense. You see what I mean? So in other words, individual views can be diametrically opposed, and then it's not workable socially. So in other words, how do you put an ideal into practice if everybody interprets the ideal individually? You follow that at all?
How do you put an ideal in practice? An idea or an ideal, did you say?
Well, it could be both. An idea could be an ideal. But I'm trying to say an ideal premise, the individual ideal premise, the unique, because everyone's unique. Think of everybody's unique and individual, okay? So that means that my ideas are completely different than yours, all right? So that means that we have to find something common between us in order to make it practical. You follow that?
Yes.
Okay, so that's what I'm trying to say. There's a compromise. See, there's a compromise from the ideal. So therefore, an ideal can never, ever be socially implemented because there always has to be a compromise in time and space and duality. Do you agree with that?
Yes. Can you repeat it again?
Yes, I'd be glad to.
I'm sorry.
In other words,
I don't know. There's a little bit of static, and I don't know why, but just repeat that statement.
Okay. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is that every individual has an ideal, their unique ideal unto themselves. That makes it solid and complete, but there's no other individual that would even be close to their ideal. So that means common law would be you have to find some common ground between the two ideals. So that means a specific ideology, which would be from the ideal, can never be completely implemented because it's not possible. So therefore, it has to stay in the realm of theoretical purposes, and this can never be in practice because it has to be compromised. You see what I mean? So in other words, what I'm getting at is we can never get the theory in practice because in practice, there has to be a compromise of the theory ideology. You get that? I think it sounds pretty
yes.
good. I like it. I mean, that's just common sense. I mean, but again, I don't think people are thinking that through. It's kind of like the cosmic conscious teachers and the collective ideas that people have. They get into this whole thing about everybody thinks the same way, and I'm thinking that's warm and fuzzy, and it makes you feel like everybody's together, but it's not the truth. We've talked about that, even off the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
So can you go ahead. We'll elaborate on it.
I'm sorry. Can you go ahead and you elaborate on it if you would.
Well, what do you
do?
I don't want to
steal your thunder. Go ahead.
No, there's no thunder being stolen. I want you to give an opinion on this. Well, okay, there's a big long lull now here. And that was the Grantham Taylor Hughes Show with Gabriella Foster. Everybody gets a big laugh because now we're going to editorialize. You can't what? What?
You're talking on the show.
I know I'm talking on the show, but what are you saying?
Go on to the show. I had something happen, and I don't want to talk about it, okay? Just go on to the show.
Excuse me for a minute, everybody. I have to. I'll be right back. I want to know. Okay, I apologize for the lull. All right, so anyway, we'll go back over what I just said. So the whole idea is that basically we're discussing the fact that a theory or an idea, which, and this is common sense, has to be compromised in terms of implementation. So we live in a world that people believe that we're all thinking the same way, but that's not true. We all know that that's true. Now do you follow that line of thinking? Are you there?
Yes.
All right, can you make a comment now on that?
About that, what do you want me to comment?
In other words, everyone's an individual, right? And therefore, when I'm talking about theory, law, and practice, and you were saying, you were online and thinking about this a minute ago, that you were saying, can truth be put into practice? Yes, but it has to be compromised. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, can you comment on that?
Well, okay, but I don't agree. I don't know if everything has to be compromised. I think we do compromise because we think it has to be compromised, but why can't everything be truthful? I don't understand that.
Because truth is an ideal, an individual ideal. It's not a collective. Truth is not collective. Truth is individual.
Can't each person act from their own truth?
Pardon me?
So can't each person act from their own truth?
Yeah, they can act from their own truth, but then they're going to have to compromise it when they go socially. As soon as one other person shows up, there has to be a compromise. You see what I mean? You cannot get a perfect ideal implemented because it's impossible. That's what I'm trying to say. People are idealistic. They get all emotional about what they believe in, but they're not willing to compromise. And therefore, that's why you have ideological warfare. But presently, we have warfare because of economic demolition. It's about money. There's no ideological warfare presently because there's money involved. But then they think, oh, we have all these factions and Muslims and ISIS and all that. And I keep saying everyone has their price. They can be bought off. Just give them another couple zeros on the check and they'll stand down from it. Say, can you stop doing this? Sure. How much? You see what I mean? So we're in a monetary system. We're not in ideological areas that now become an issue of trying to put forth an idea for society. It's not possible. That's what I'm trying to say. Are you paying attention now?
Well, the question is, this is what you're saying. You're saying that if the money is taken out of the system, then everybody can act according to their ideals? Is that what you're saying?
They can act according to their ideal, but they must learn that it's a compromise. You see, I mean, society... People don't want to compromise because they don't understand what I'm talking about here. What I'm saying is very crucial in terms of people need to accommodate a compromise in terms of working with people. They got to get off of their godhood thing. They got to get off of their narcissistic, egomaniacal selves because that's what destroys the golden age because we don't understand the compromise. In other words, we're not accommodating to other people. We don't listen to other people because we're on our own agenda. Where I had to learn this a long time ago, that I learned to listen to people and respect other people's ideals, and then I put them into my idiom and filter out so I can interpret it for me. We all interpret what's being said to us, right? Some people interpret better than others. It doesn't really matter who's better or worse or indifferent. It's a matter of if we can work together and progress in society instead of retrogressing and destroying it. The reason why Americans are sick and fat and out of shape is they're not learning how to compromise. They're not compromising narcissistical, egomaniacal selves because they want all the attention. People get sick because they want attention. See, people get fat because they want attention. Somebody help me. It's like I ran today and a lady stopped me in her yard and asked, she's an older person, but she stopped me because I know she likes me because I look good. See, so it was just an excuse to talk to me because I don't even know her. She's an older woman and whatnot. But you see, the undertow is it's okay. I don't have a problem with that. See, that's a compromise. But what's the truth in the matter? What is the real truth that we're dealing with? People don't even know what the real truth is, Gabriella, so they wander around, they don't have any self-realization, so they're just bouncing off like a pinball machine. They're bouncing around. They're miserable. They don't know how to communicate. I mean, I was talking to a woman last night who's a manager for a communications thing, a government thing, I think, I'm not sure, in terms of kids with disabled communication skills, like autistic people, and she's the world's worst communicator, but then I found out you had said that she's in administration. Thank goodness, because she would be terrible on the front lines with the children, most likely. But ironically, sometimes people do open up and they're able to get into their speciality to function within the community that they're dealing with. But again, it's just ironic that people are thrown into things because they have to learn how to do it. So do you follow what I'm saying in terms of, again, what I'm trying to say is there has to be an element of compromise. You know, we have to accommodate what we're dealing with at the present moment in order to survive, in order to understand, in order to move forward instead of retrograding and having difficulties. And we're having difficulties because people are narcissistic. You see what I mean? They're defensive. They do not want to accommodate. See, they don't want to facilitate. See, we've got even in the East and the China with all the population, they're just running around bugs running into each other in society. They don't say, excuse me or pardon me. They don't have amenities anymore. Social amenities are gone because you've got a population that is so huge that they've naturally just gotten rid of it after generations of mass population. Do you think that's good? What's your opinion on that?
Well, yeah, I think it's a problem, but they've given up after it's just too difficult for them because there's so many of them. So I think they've just given up on it, and they're just, you know, as we said before, it's a matter of being in a monetary society and needing to go to work and do what you have to do, and you have to survive. So everybody's just given up and they're just trying to survive.
Yeah, we become slaves of time. But I haven't given up. I think we should just not be slaves of time. But you see, everything's so expensive. Everybody's rushing around, burning a candle at both ends. They're nihilists. They don't care. They want to disappear or making commentary about that type of thing because they've given up because they're in a big rush and there's no reason to live. And so they become slaves of time and then they're out of here. See, so my opinion, you just need to slow it all down, you know, and just stop what we're doing, stop in the middle of the street and say, pardon me. And then the first Chinese person that bumps into someone say, excuse me, resurrect the amenities. Just stop it. Stop all the nonsense, you see, because it's rubbish. It really is. I'm a very positive cornucopious, albeit I admit I'm a bad temper and I have off stuff. But it doesn't keep me from trying to pursue what I consider to be the truth. I haven't given up. And if people give up, then they're a slave of time. I don't agree with that. I don't agree with it at all. That's why I do this show. And that's why I got some fine compliments this week. A gentleman who's a follower of both the shows on Saturday and Sunday gave me really nice compliments. He said I was one of the greatest presenters he's met in the contemporary time. You see, I'm stuttering even to try to explain what he's saying. See, I say, well, I make up for my lack of style with substance, I think. And I believe that. I truly believe that. Albeit, if you space out and everybody spaces out and they're overwhelmed or whatever, then get it together, you know. People need to wake up. You know, get in the fight. You know, get some visceral emotion going and stuff. I can't help it if people lose it or they can't, you know, they have Alzheimer's, whatever's happened to them. That's all nutritional in any way. Or playing games. If I'm hiding out over here and want the attention, people want all the attention. You know, like you're saying to me, I want all the attention. I don't really think about that, but maybe it's true. Maybe I act and do everything because I want all the attention. But maybe I should get it if I have substance. And if people don't like it, well, just listen. Review things. That's why we have an archive. That's why people can repeat things and listen to things. That's why the nice thing about television and the what do you call it, remote controls, the pause buttons and stuff, and you can review things, rewind things until you get it. I really like that about our technology now because you don't have to be saddled with the fact of missing something. You can rewind it and get the words right. And what's wrong with going over something that you don't understand until you get it? Or repeating something, or whatever the case may be, or just like the hidden agendas of the world. People are afraid to talk about things, but I'm not against the fact that people want to hide what they really believe in sometimes, because maybe there's too much of a compromise. I think sometimes that compromises have to be in balance, but there has to be some of that. Otherwise, we would never survive. It would be annihilated itself immediately. It would be born and die immediately, because the society would be so repulsive, it would be so repulsed by the energy that it would implode on itself as soon as it gave birth. And maybe it wouldn't give birth. That's why they're predicting in 2050 that I think half the children born are going to be autistic. But then what's autism? I'm saying, well, autism would be somebody who really doesn't want to be there, and so the spirit is a little bit outside the body. It's all in the eyes. I was talking to, that lady last night that's in communications and deals with autistic people. I said, because I dealt with some of that. I was a corpsman in the Army years ago. I dealt with autistic people. I realized it's in the eyesight. It's like when their eyes aren't, they're not paying attention. They're looking all around, and they're not even focused. There's no focus in these people. And people don't even know how to look at somebody in the eyes. We have two eyes. You got to look in the middle of the forehead. That's why they have the triangulation and the Masonic symbols of the pyramid in the back of the dollar bill, because it's all just being able to look into somebody's eyes properly, look into the soul by looking in the third eye. But people don't even know how to do that. Therapists don't even know how to do it. How pathetic is that? So you're not going to fix autistic people unless you talk directly to their soul. You look into, or the mirror of it. I really consider the eyes the mirrors of the soul. So if you look in the middle of someone's forehead, you're looking directly into the mirror and not from side to side in a duality type situation. How are you going to fix anybody if you can't talk to them correctly? I mean, think about that, Gabriella. You got therapists who don't even know how to talk to the essence of the person. Is that pathetic or what?
Well, that's probably most of them.
Well, that's what I mean, see. So nobody's going to get fixed, but it's just a job, see. They study a few semesters in psychology or whatever, sociology, and then they go out here and try to be a therapist, and they don't even know how to deal with the person. They don't know what the person is across from them. They don't even know what their essence is. So how are you going to get that person to function if you can't contact the essence of what they are? I mean, that's ridiculous, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Are you there? Hello?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm here.
So, the whole subject matter today is that we're all in a state of compromise, basically.
Talking about like that third level, I say theory, law, and practice, to discuss the Geneva Convention issues about sovereignty, solvency, and afianchetto. And behind it is that the premises of that, what I'm trying to say. And I'm saying that in order to gain sovereignty, solvency, and afianchetto and those views, or in health, I forgot health, we have to compromise to do that, to function in society. In other words, we have to work at it. We have to be enthusiastic. Am I the only enthusiastic person on the planet? I don't think so. What about you?
Well, I think a lot of people are enthusiastic about a lot of different things. Not everybody's enthusiastic about the same thing.
Well, yeah, that's fine. I'm glad there's enthusiastic people. That would be nice to see some visceral energy, emotional energy sometimes. Because people are always condemning the emotions. Well, it's too emotional, right? Well, what is too emotional? If you sit back and fall asleep in a big couch potato weighing 900 pounds, you know, I don't go for that either. Why don't they get into the dune cycle and drive around and fly around in the sky and stuff? Why don't they buy more of these little mini carts and stuff, you know, and drive around, and people are so big and fat they can't move around. That's just rubbish, you know. And I'll say it to their face, you know, get it together. So that's the whole point. Well, we just don't have enough people that are motivating these people that are schlubs. And really, we got a schlub world here in America. It's pathetic. It's really awful. And people don't speak up about it. It's not politically correct to call somebody fat when they're awful or morbid obese Or like when I was more obese, people were afraid to say anything to me, but they should have. But I, at that time, I couldn't do anything about it. And maybe same way with the morbid obese now.
Well,
they don't
maybe,
know what to do.
Maybe they're in denial like you were. You were very much in denial when you were overweight.
Well, then go for it. Go for it.
So, well, now it's easy to say because you're not overweight. But back then, that was a different story. You weren't easy to deal with. You would not have responded so nicely to it.
So what about nicey? If fat people can't respond nicely, get upset. They need to get upset anyway and get off their tuchus, just like me. If for people are afraid because they're going to be, oh, they might be nasty and unkind. Well, guy, you got to take it. Take the good with the bad. And so what? People are afraid to speak to somebody because they're afraid of the response? Well, it's terrible. It really is. And maybe you don't know, see? And people probably would appreciate the help. I would have if somebody was willing to give me the help. Back in those days, people didn't know about raw veganism. Did you know about raw veganism back in those days? No.
No, I did not. But
so then you couldn't have been helpful. You weren't helpful then either.
Well,
so
I wasn't overweight.
You can condemn somebody. Wait a minute. You can condemn somebody, but if you don't have an answer to it, how can you condemn people? I can condemn people because I have an answer to the condemnation.
Well, I mean, that was the answer for you. But if you remember back then, I was never overweight like you were. So raw veganism was necessary for you, but it didn't. But I kept my weight down without raw veganism. And not saying that veganism is not good. I think it is a total answer for health. I think it's the best way to go. But I'm just saying it's an individual situation. That's all.
Right. I agree with that. At the same time, see, I didn't want to be that way. But people now, they just resign themselves to the fact because they can't do anything about it, you see, and don't really care about fixing themselves up in a lot of cases, you see. But we don't know because people don't want to talk about the sensitivity of why they're morbid obese. You know, when you talk to somebody and right in their face and weigh 500 pounds, nobody's saying, hey, why are you so fat? You see what I mean? Nobody says that. You're talking about the weather or talking about, you know, some confabulatory small talk, and they're sitting across from somebody who really needs help. They want help, they need help, and nobody's helping them. See, and that's why countries fail or regimes fail or societies fail, because nobody does anything about it. I mean, it's really pathetic when we get in political correctness to allow people to be morbid obese without saying anything about it. Oh, it's just wonderful. Let's just get full sizes or whatever. Make stores big people, big gigantic people, and just push them down the hill because it's easier to roll down the hill than to walk down the hill. Maybe that's why they do it, so they can roll around. They can just lay on their sides and roll around instead of walking. Is that maybe part of the projected plan, is that part of it?
I don't know.
No, it's not. Is it or isn't it? Like, they can roll and
no,
walk?
No, I don't think so.
You know, turn sideways and then roll them around. That's an idea,
well,
you know. Can you tip over, please, and I'll just roll you down the road?
You're probably really upsetting a lot of people tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry, everybody, but guess what? I don't care. I'm getting like that Alex Jones routine, or like who's that guy on television? I forget his name. Who's always that way? But you know, I'm not going to apologize for it because I don't really hold any quarter for the nonsense. Just like me, somebody should have railed into me a long time ago, but they didn't have an answer for it. But then I answered. I became raw vegan. I lost the weight, and for the record, I weigh about 165, and I'm in great shape. I ran 5 miles today, and it was like a walk in the park. I could have done it backwards, but I was trying to get on the show today so I could rail everybody. How do you like that? Anyway, thanks for being on the show. We're down to the last minute.
Sure, you're welcome.
Gabrielle, I appreciate it. And thank you all, the journeymen that listen to us each week and the new people that come online. It's really nice to do this. I apologize a little bit for being out of sorts, but I wasn't really. I was just on it, whatever. And I was saying I don't have to apologize, but I did. There's the irony of that. So anyway, this is Grantham Taylor Hughes for my show. Have a great week, and I hope that everything goes well. So I'll talk to you all soon. Have a great week, like I said, and goodbye for now. Are you okay or something? Do you have a health problem or something? You start fading out?
I can hear your voice. I don't know. I just couldn't get what you were saying. It wasn't like coming together in words or something. I can't explain. But I could not answer you. I had no idea what you just said. So that was embarrassing. I didn't know. And if I don't answer you right away, that means please go on. There's some issue, okay? I didn't know
what it was. I thought you got out of the call. I didn't have any idea what was going on with you. So I had no read on what was wrong with you. You're just like,
I don't know what to say. I couldn't say.
Well, can't you stay with me?
I can't get
But the
words.
Leslie, but the call is...
The only thing was your voice. It wasn't coming into words.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I'm really glad. I wish you could stay with it. You want to go down and watch some television? I want some more pie anyway. Come on.
Okay, I gotta make
What?
All right, now I'm sorry. I think here we go.
Can I take
a 5-minute shower?
Yeah, go ahead.
I'll be right down. There, go get your pie. I'm not
going to
have any.
I should. I thought I was doing really well today, too. I brought up some really good points. And then you go to sleep on me.